Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask a question after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Ronak Saraf. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, especially in the PPT, which has been posted in the Investor Relations section of our website. Today, we have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, Full-Time Director, Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would like to draw your attention to the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and the factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. Now, without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate you all for taking out your valuable time, and I welcome you all to the conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. It is a good start to financial year 2024, although the global business environment and geographical situation remains sensitive. The raw material prices are more or less stabilized, but we are still experiencing higher power and fuel costs. We hope this scenario to settle down in the coming quarters. The company's overall performance improved on a year-on-year basis. The growth in the numbers are essentially driven by human nutrition business and bioprocessing business. Now, I will take you through the quarterly performances. Now, as far as the quarterly performance, our top line stood at rupees 1,473 million, grew 22% on a year-on-year basis and 6% on a sequential basis in quarter one. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 440 million, grew by 42% on year-on-year basis, while it remained flat on sequential basis. We have witnessed a significant growth of 67% in the bottom line on year-on-year basis, while on sequential basis, it is declined by 8%. On the margin side, EBITDA margin stood at 30% and PAT margin stood at 20% during the quarter one. Now, I will just highlight the different segments. Human nutrition. The human nutrition segment outperformed during the quarter and remained highest contributor in the revenue pie at 67%. It grew by 23% on year-on-year basis and 13% on sequential basis. Pharma API and biocatalysts in domestic markets and nutrition in the international markets primarily supported the numbers in human nutrition. Our animal nutrition business contributed 11% to the revenue in quarter one. It grew by 1% on year-on-year basis, while it declined by 23% on sequential basis. Bioprocessing business during this quarter performed really well and contributed 15% to the revenue. It grew by 22% on year-on-year basis and 17% on sequential basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 7% and grew by 50% on year-on-year basis, while it declined by 14% on sequential basis. We anticipate continued growth in coming times. We will continue our focus to enhance customer value proportion and deliver long-term sustainable growth going ahead. With this, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka. He will walk you through the financials and key subsidy numbers.
Thank you very much, Mukul. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. On the company's consolidated financial for the first quarter of fiscal year 2024, year-on-year basis, that is Q1 of FY24 versus Q1 of FY23, our revenue increased by rupees 262 million from 1,211 million to 1,473 million. This is 22% of increase. Our EBITDA is increased by 131 million from 309 million rupees to 440 million, registered an increase of 42%. Profit before tax increased by 177 million from 237 million to 414 million. Our profit after tax is increased by 118 million from 176 million to 294 million, which is about 20% of our revenue. On Q-on-Q basis, which is sequential basis, Q1 of FY24 and Q4 of FY23, our top line has increased by 86 million from 1,387 million rupees to 1,473 million rupees. The EBITDA is about 440 million as compared to 441 million. Profit before tax is down by 7 million from 421 million to 414 million. Profit after tax is down by 27 million from 321 million to 294 million. We'll explain the reasons of, you know, slightly downtrend if we compare on sequential basis. I'll give you some more perspective as we go forward. Our subsidiary numbers are as follows. JC Biotech, where we have about 90% of holding, the top line was 134 million as compared to 107 million in Q4 and 146 million in Q1 of last year. So we have a Q-on-Q 25% increase. Year on year, it is down by 8%. EBITDA of JC Biotech stood at 9 million in Q1 as compared to negative EBITDA of 3 million in Q4 and 19 million positive in Q1. PAT for this quarter was negative by 1 million as compared to 10 million of negative PAT in Q4 and 7 million of positive PAT in Q1. So JCB is showing, you know, positive trend in this quarter as compared to the previous quarter. Evox, the top line stood at 54 million as compared to 58 million in Q4 and 69 million in Q1. EBITDA in this quarter is negative in Evox, 7 million as compared to 20 million in the previous quarter and 18 million in the first quarter of previous year. Evoxx profit after tax is negative this quarter, 13 million as compared to 11 million of positive PAT in Q4 and 8 million of profit after tax in Q1 of last year. SciTech top line stood at 97 million and EBITDA is 4 million. PAT is 1 million as compared to 117 million of revenue in quarter 4 and 24 million of EBITDA in quarter 4 of last year, and PAT was negative in quarter 4. Quarter 1 was top line of 66 million and EBITDA of 2 million negative, and PAT was negative of 14 million. So SciTech is also like going in a positive direction in this particular quarter. The sale of our largest product, anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at about 24% of our top line consolidated basis revenue. This was 24% in Q4 of last year and 23% of quarter one of last year. The top 10 customers contributed 26% of our total revenue in quarter one of FY24 as compared to 30% in quarter one of FY23 and 24% of, I'm sorry, 30% of quarter one of FY23. And this was about 26% in quarter 4. And last year, for the full financial year, it was about 24%. So top 10 customers in FY23 was 24%. In Q1 of FY23, it was 30%. Q4 of FY23 was 26%. And Q1 also continues to be 26% of our top line. Now we'll give you some numbers on R&D. On standalone basis, R&D spend in Q1 was about 62 million. This is about 4.2% of our consolidated revenue, as compared to 79 million of R&D expenditure. This is about 5.7% of our consolidated revenue. And in Q1 of FY23, we spent about 76 million on R&D, about 6.3% of our consolidated revenue. Now, when we look at the R&D spend after eliminating the expenses we have incurred in our subsidiary company, Evoxx, the consolidated R&D spend was 41 million, about 3% of our consolidated revenue, as compared to 61 million in Q4 of FY23, about 4% of our top line. And in Q1, we spent about 52 million, which is again 4% of our top line. In FY23, we spent about 4% on R&D on consolidated basis, as compared to 3% in FY22. So this was from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Hello, this is the operator. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The first question is from the line of Shreyans Gathani from GS Securities. Please proceed, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. So the first one is related to the animal nutrition business. It seems like a pretty sharp fall from the last year's trend. So I'm wondering if there's like a loss of customer or because we've seen a secular rise in the business and the current revenue goes back to what we had over a year ago. So I just wanted to get some color on the revenue drop in the animal health business.
Shreyansh, we don't think like there is any loss of customer, but generally it's a quarter on quarter. We cannot like judge on the animal feed business or any other business. On the quarter on quarter basis, basically there are like in animal feed there are a lot of like export shipment also happens, and if the delivery is not there, then there are the sales reversals as well. So it's very difficult to judge animal feed business on a quarter on quarter basis. We haven't lost any of the customers, and we still expect the growth in the in this year in the animal feed business.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And for the geographical segment, so is there any new geography that we've added? Like I see like a huge jump in the rest of the world revenue. So are we targeting other geographies? And if you could include that geography from the rest of the world, because it seems like a significant jump from last quarter.
It's again a quarter and quarter. So in some of the geographies, at some point you will see the higher sales, and some of those geographies you will see the lower sales. So the geographies remain the same, wherever our focus is, but it's an increase in the business overall, like that is what we expect.
Got it, got it. And regarding the margins, so as of now, you know, if I see the margins, so there's from the peak margins, we've lost some of the margins due to the gross on a gross margin level, and then there's like power and fuel, which you mentioned. Besides that, we also I see that you know in the annual report there's like higher legal fees, which I don't know if they're going to continue because of the spends on the dossiers that we are filing, or how do we look at that going forward?
So, I mean, gross margin is like, you know, it all depends on, you know, many times on product mix issue also. Of course, you know, earlier in FY22 and FY23 in particular, the raw material prices and input cost has inflated. So because of that, if you really look at the gross contribution, it was like, you know, slightly lower in FY23. And that continues to be there, although we have seen some kind of, you know, softening of the input prices. So that is not a big difference. Frankly speaking, it is, you know, about 1% change in that sense from, say, gross margin of 76% to 75%. That is the kind of scenario. So not the big difference in that sense. But if you really compare with FY22, FY21, there is a lot of difference because of, you know, number one, it is inflationary impact on the input cost. Number two, it is again depends on the sales mix.
Got it. Yeah, so I was mentioning like FY21-22. So basically, like, is it correct to assume that our U.S. business contributes to the highest margins and then the other ones are lower margin and or margin diluted from the U.S. business?
You're right. Like, if you even look into this quarter, our U.S. business is more or less flat from the first quarter. From the last quarter, I guess, or first quarter, right? We do expect the, and in the last call also, like we said, that the first two quarters are going to be more or less flat, and we do expect the growth to come from the third, fourth quarter somewhere. So we still wait for the U.S. business to grow, to really improve on the margins, basically.
So the other segments pretty much contribute to the current around 30% EBITDA margin is what, you know, slightly lower than the US business is what I'm assuming.
Yeah, so Indian business is more or less 30% of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, so Indian business is around 30% on the gross margin.
No, on the EBITDA margin. Okay, okay, got it. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan with Tunga Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So you mentioned the top product is 24% of the consolidated sales for this year, right? For this quarter, right?
That is right, Lakshmi Narayan.
Okay. Second, in terms of the India pharma sales for us, right, can you just give me the numbers of how much is that for the for FY23 and also for the current quarter compared to the previous quarter of same of previous year? I mean, sorry, Q1 of FY23 and Q1 of FY24. What is India pharma sales?
1 minute. 1 minute.
Yeah, so Lakshminarayanji, in Q1 it is 539 million as compared to 499 million in Q4 and 378 in Q1 of last year.
378, okay.
Okay, and international sales is about 456 million in Q1. 378 in Q4 and 429 in Q1.
Sorry, this is which sales? This is international sales.
Yeah.
Got it, got it. And what is US nutraceutical sales?
It's about US is, yeah, 404 million. As compared to 321 and 348.
Got it. And when you started the year in terms of your plans for the full year, so far what has actually given you positive surprise and what is actually not going as per your plans?
I think the Lakshmi Narayanji, more or less there is no surprise. These are like all factored in at this point of time.
Overall, Lakshminarayanji, we can say this particular quarter is operationally better than, you know, the quarter four, because when we compare some, you know, one-off items in quarter four, and if I eliminate those one-off, then we could see that the EBITDA margin, which as such appears to be, you know, lower in terms of percentage from 32% to 30%, this is at the same level. Number one, rather it has increased by 34 million in absolute term and 8% increase in, you know, EBITDA margin as compared to 6% you know, growth in my top line. And if I take the impact of all this one-off on my profit before tax, so this is higher by about, you know, 51 million in this quarter. So there is a, you know, increase of about 18% in my profit before tax. And profit after tax also, there is a, you know, increase on overall basis after looking into the one-off items and, you know, taking out the tax thereof. So overall, I mean, you know, the profitability is also increased by about 22 million. So 8% of increase in my profit after tax. So when we look at, you know, operationally how efficient we were in this quarter. This is, you know, much better than, you know, our previous quarters.
Got it. And how seasonal is our business, or how you think it is going to be for this year, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4?
I don't think it has any seasonality impact as such, except what happens in animal feed business sometime in Q4, there's little bit of push, you know, in sales in probably in domestic market.
Lakshminarayan, since we are present in the most of the different areas, something balances the others, right? Although, like, the fourth quarter is generally the best in terms of, because there is some push is always there in the fourth quarter.
Got it. Sir, in terms of our, you know, we had some pricing pressure in our top product, right? And how that has panned out as the competitive intensity in that segment has withered off, or you still see that the prices are under check?
We will continue our strategy, and if you really look at it, our sale has increased. And I think the increase is significant, right? Even like if you compare with the last quarter, it's more than 22%. 26%, right? So we'll continue with our strategy, Lakshminarayan.
On Q1Q also, there's an 8% increase in the top product.
And what is the comfortable band of margin or return on equity you like to operate in for the next couple of years, which is very comfortable to you in terms of the margin band or the return on equity, whichever way you look at it?
I mean, you know, our efforts are always like, you know, we maximize our return. But then, as you know, you have also observed from the numbers that our equity has gone up substantially. And of late, we have accumulated a lot of, you know, cash on the books. So getting the same kind of, you know, profits from investment is like, you know, a little bit challenging. So we are looking for some other possibilities where we can, you know, earn more and, you know, maximize our return on equity and all our return ratios.
Right. And what has been our people intake for the last, you know, this financial year? What is the planned intake of scientists as a percentage of your base? And has it increased over the last year, the number of new people you are actually boarding on?
Strength.
R&D strength you're talking about, Lakshminarayan?
Yeah.
Yes. R&D, yes.
So, in terms of number of people, in last 1 year, we have increased the people almost 20-25%.
And how has it been, your attrition in the R&D space?
Yes, the attrition is
20%. Is the gross number or the net number, sir?
Gross number I'm talking about.
Yeah.
25%. Right, and there is an attrition also is there. Significant amount of attrition is was
attrition.
Also there the last year. And if you really notice, like, we have come up with the ESOP plan as well with the, in this quarter, in this last board meeting.
So the net addition would be around 10%, or it would be lower than that, adjusting the attrition?
Terms of 14-15%, I think, was there.
It was on a higher side last year, and this year, like, it is on a lower side from the what we are doing, and we expect somewhere around 10% this year.
Got it. And any client wins you have on an annual basis, how many new clients you actually add, either in the U.S. or in Europe? And how do you think should happen for this year in terms of the absolute number of clients increase?
We don't track the number of clients. Honestly, it's very difficult for me to say the how many clients we have added or not, right? I mean, some of the, like, when we talk about animal feed business, some of the most of the business also happen through the distributors level. So it's very difficult to talk about on the number of clients. We help distributors to get the client, but we don't track them.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from Abhishek Sinha with Bodh Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for your insights on the business. I just wanted to ask a broad question to, you know, really understand what has been happening in the industry over the last 4-5 years. I mean, in terms of competitive intensity, have you witnessed any significant competitors gaining strength or market share, you know, in any particular segment that you operate in, not specifically in, you know, in the top products?
So yes, you are right, Abhishek. We did replace some of the competitors, particularly into the food areas, in the animal feed areas. The biocatalyst is the area like where we are developing the solutions. So I won't say that it's a replacement, it's a market creation, new market creation. Yes, we have replaced some of the competition in the even into the pharma segment, whichever is there. So it's always there. The intensity of the competitors differ geographically and segment-wise. So there is no one single competitor, and I can't just map it exactly what is and can't give it right away what is happening in which segment, because it's a big question, right?
Yes, sir. So my question was particularly from you know, in a domestic point of view, because in India we don't see a lot of competitors gaining strength. So is it that Novozymes and you know, the other players, DSM, or you know, some of them are participating in Indian market? I mean, I wanted to understand what are their strategies and, you know, what are their growth trajectories as compared to us.
So Novozymes, like, strategy is more into the detergent areas, more into the textile areas, more into the starch industry, more into the, what I can say,
animal feed.
Not in animal feed. So these are the basic their focus areas. Our focus areas are the animal feed. We are getting into the food area, different food, but I won't say that we are replacing Novozymes here in India. We are developing a new applications out here. In the animal feed, probably, like, there are a lot of different competitions are there, and different small players are also there. I won't say that we are replacing exactly the competitors. In the pharma sector, there were, like, some of the traders which we replaced in this quarter also.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, how are things progressing on the food enzymes in Europe? We have, you know, already filed for some dossiers and got positive response.
So I think, like, this quarter was good, but I won't want to comment just because of one quarter, because there are certain businesses which are, like, on some quarters they may come and some quarters they won't. But overall, we expect a good growth this year in the food business.
All right. And sir, in terms of India's consumption, especially in food enzymes, you know, how, I mean, I know it's a very difficult question to answer, but I just want to get a sense of where India stands against, you know, the developed economies in terms of enzyme consumption. And, you know, maybe is it going to be a 5-year or 10-year trend that will, you know, India will take to catch up?
I think India has a lot of potentials, and our food enzymes consumption is on a really lower side. Honestly, like, I feel there is a big potential as we grow, as the earning power of the people will grow, and probably that will be the time when this market will really grow. If you ask me at this point of time, Indian market is very, very minimum, and it's growing, but not to that level.
Got it, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Puneet Patani with Cred PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. How much revenue do you generate from the biocatalysis segment?
For this quarter, Puneet?
Yeah, this quarter.
So, about 6% of our revenue has come from this particular.
About 8.6 here, roughly.
Okay, and what is your long-term strategy for this segment, and how much growth do you expect in the long term?
We expect a good growth in this area, as we already mentioning that a lot of our research is going into this area. We are developing a lot of good enzymes into this area. Some of the enzymes are on a trial scale, probably some of the business may start into the end of this year, maybe about third or fourth quarter. Over a longer period, we feel this area should grow, and our lot of research focuses into this area. That's what I can say.
Okay. And my next question is regarding the proposed merger of Novozymes and PH Hansen. So do you expect any impact of the merger? Any competitive intensity increasing because of the merger?
We don't expect anything on us in real sense, because and the changes what we are looking into the Novozyme as well right now is they are withdrawing from the most of the enzyme business and some of the enzyme business, and they are focusing more into the protein area, fermentation protein basically. Maybe because of the cost structure and the other structure, that is what we are looking at it at this point of time. More picture will be clear as we move on, maybe in the next 2-3 quarters. So it's interesting, but I don't see there is a much of an impact because of the merger.
Okay. Just one last question, if you permit. Any competitive intensity from the Chinese players increasing, or do you actually face some competition from the Chinese players because there isn't much information about the Chinese enzyme market?
So some of the areas China is strong in few of the enzymes and where they produce bulk, but most of those areas we are not present. So we don't see a lot of competition into this area. Some of the competition come in the API area, particularly into the biocatalyst area, where they supply the final API into the Indian market, and our enzymes have to be cost effective to really compete with their API prices. But on the enzyme front, we are not really directly competing with the China.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Puneet ji.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from the line of Shreyans Gathani from SG Securities. Please proceed.
Hey, thanks for the follow-up. Just a couple of questions. So just wanted to know, what is the update on the R&D center that you're building in Nashik? It seems going on for a while. So just wanted to know when you would complete and start hiring for that. For the R&D center.
So, Shriyanji, at this point of time, we are building a huge first building, which is about 100,000 square feet, which is a 5-floor building. At this point of time, we expect the first lab to go on the 15th September. We expect this building to complete by the next December, somewhere around that. So it's quite a while to really to induct the people in the R&D center.
Got it. Okay. So this would consolidate all the R&D facilities or every R&D project that will get under one roof for the company?
I won't say that it will consolidate all the R&D into one roof, but most of the back-end R&D will happen out there.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And just one question on Wellpass. So just to give how that's progressing, what's the response on that and what's the strategy from here?
So Wellpass is like, as you know, like B2C business takes longer time. At this point of time, we don't expect any revenue this year as well. Like in the initial, so like we said that probably it will take a couple of years to get into the revenue mode. At this point of time, we are focusing on the Amazon and some other website selling. So we will see in like few time how does it pan out.
Got it. Okay. And just one, like, could you just give some high color on what kind of product launches are you looking at for this year and in the pipeline that you have right now, in which area specifically? I know you mentioned about the biocatalyst area, but if you could just give a more detailed idea, that would be helpful.
So I won't be able to give you exact APIs where we are targeting at this point of time because of the competitive nature. But yes, few products in those areas and few products in the nutraceutical areas. Some of them are already there and some of them are under the trials.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder to all participants, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question is from Lakshmi Narayan from Tunga Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of things. What is your outlook for the freight expenses as well as raw material expenses for the year? And there were fluctuations on both the fronts in terms of transportation, freight expenses, and raw material expenses earlier.
Raw material is softening. Some of the raw materials are softening, although they didn't come to the original level, but we think that more or less it will stabilize, right? In terms of freight expenses, they also came down from the top, and still they are on a little bit on a higher rate, but still it's okay kind of thing.
Got it. And given that we have gone through a big fluctuation on both the fronts, how have you thought through this from a de-risk view? Have you now contracted raw materials, or how are you hedging these risk which may again emerge in the future? Or is it that it's always like this, it would be fluctuating and we cannot hedge?
We don't hedge it, Lakshmi Narayan, honestly, because a lot of raw materials are agriculture based, but when we really look at it in terms of the sale value to this is about 24-25%, and we just don't want to do all the hedging from the, let's say, from the stock exchanges and other thing into the commodity exchanges basically. So we don't hedge it most of them.
One is the type of hedging you talked about. The other is to buy more and stock more, right? So have you changed your procurement policies as well as freight booking policies?
We don't import too much, right? Most of them comes from the domestic. So the freight really affect when we sell, because many of the sales are like CIF as well, instead of procuring. And there is always a restrictions on the on the how much material you can store, basically. And since it's most of them are commodity based as well, like they also get, for example, soil may get rancidity. So you don't want to have a big inventory on those fronts. We don't have too many big godowns where you can really just store them. So we don't really look into the aging, all of those kind of thing.
Got it. And when any changes
in inventory for 2-3 months, but not beyond that.
Sorry?
So 2 to 3 months of inventory is okay, but not more than that, because that impacts again, you know, your ultimately the finished goods, because you need to use it for various purposes, for fermentation and all that. So if there is any issue with regard to that, then you know the impact is on overall profitability in that sense. So how much we can keep is something like, you know, we have some kind of a timeline. That is what we stick to it. And of late, as already mentioned, now the raw material prices are softening. And I mean, you know, now we don't see any kind of, you know, adverse impact, provided, you know, the situation continues to be the way it is now. And freight prices also, you know, to a great extent stabilize. So the issue where we used to pay 3 times of, you know, what we have been paying earlier, that time is also kind of gone. So, I mean, you know, many of the input costs now stabilize, except, you know, power and fuel cost. This is something not in, you know, control of anyone. It's like, you know, market driven. So other than that, we see that, you know, most of the costs are now kind of, you know, stabilizing.
And even for the power costs in the longer run, we are planning for some kind of alternate energies.
Yeah.
So the by that way, like, we can cut down the power cost as we move on.
And in terms of probiotics, there was some kind of destocking that was taking place earlier. Now, what is our sales in probiotics for the quarter, and how does it compare either sequentially or compared to the Q1 of last year?
I think now the probiotics sale is still, you know, not so much as compared to, you know, the sales which we had in FY22 or so.
But probably this year we might have a better sale, but we haven't really factored that as of now. That will be a positive surprise if that happens.
So annually, what is your probiotic sales?
I'll give you those numbers. Lakshmananji, any other question? I'll just give you those numbers.
Got it, sir. And last question is that, you know, we are generating sufficient amount of cash, right? And what is our plan in general? Do you intend to keep high cash reserves, or do you intend to, you know, use it for any mergers and acquisitions? How are you thinking about the excess cash? What is the policy?
We do intend to keep some cash, some threshold by which we can do the acquisitions. Unfortunately, we really didn't come up with a really good acquisition in the last, I mean, I would say, like, we did acquire a company, but that was a very small one, a significant one. Excess cash this year also, like, we gave a dividend, which we thought should be given, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to do that.
Right. And as we started this year, you clearly mentioned that all your cost item visibility is very high for you, that both raw material and the freight expenses, you can actually visibly see that it is either softening or stabilizing. From a revenue point of view, what kind of visibility we have? Has our visibility increased when compared to last year for the forthcoming year?
So in the last time we said that we stick to those growth forecasts, what we last time mentioned, right?
Got it. Okay.
And Lakshmananji, last year in FY23, the probiotics was about 200 million as compared to 240 million in FY22. and for this quarter it is about 31 million.
Got it. And you expect it to at least go do something like 200 million for a year, or you expect there is a uptick there?
So expectation is definitely higher.
Expectation is there, but not factored too much of the number in this projection. Whatever will come up will be the positive surprise.
Okay, and this is predominantly India. I mean, is it also any exports of probiotics
here? And we are not mentioning about the blends which are going through the probiotics.
Sorry, sir, I didn't hear it.
We are not talking about in these numbers the blends which are which contains probiotics.
Okay, so this is this 200 million last year probiotics is completely India sold, right? It's not exported.
No, it is exported as well, but not in terms of blends.
Okay.
I mean, there are a lot of products which contains 3 probiotics, 5 probiotics, plus like your enzymes. So it's very difficult to categorize.
Okay, this is standalone probiotics as you have it. Okay.
Yeah. Most of them comes from the standalone.
Thank you so much. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to all participants, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, if anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand over the conference to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings conference call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and a transcript of this call will be uploaded on our website in due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.